Welcome to the Studying the Bible podcast, where every Thursday, Pastors Dylan Dodson and Brian Androsian study a book of the Bible, verse by verse, to see what is being communicated and how we can use it to grow in our relationship with Jesus. We pray that today's podcast can help you grow just a little bit closer to Christ.
Welcome back to our Bible study through the book of Habakkuk. Today in the session, we're going to be in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. So in the first chapter of Habakkuk, to bring us up to speed, we saw Habakkuk lodge a complaint to God about the wickedness of the people of Judah, and God responds by telling him that he's going to raise up Babylon against them. Now, Babylon was this extremely powerful, ruthless, and wicked nation, and God was going to use this godless nation against Judah. So Habakkuk responds in disbelief that God would use this wicked nation against them and continues on about how powerful Babylon is and how they'll be destroyed at the hand of the Babylonians. And then in the last session, we ended with verse 1 of chapter 2, where Habakkuk is patiently waiting on God's response to his second prayer. We saw that faithfulness is the willingness to wait on God, and that's what Habakkuk is doing here. So as we pick up today in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, we see God's second response to Habakkuk's second complaint, or his second prayer. So we pick up today in chapter 2, verse 2, and it starts off by saying this. The Lord answered me, write down this vision, clearly inscribe it on tablets so one may easily read it. So the second response from God starts with an instruction to inscribe this vision down on tablets so they may be easily read. Other translations say, inscribe it on tablets so one who reads it may run. And one commentator states that the message here is not just for Habakkuk to write it, but to write it in a way that a person who reads this message will adopt it as a guide for living and will run through life according to it. So God's not just telling him to write down what I say, but he's saying write it down in a way that anyone who's reading this can use this to live by, or use this to be encouraged in their faith, or use this to grow closer to God. Verse 3, he says, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hurries toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it delays, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay long. See, God has perfect timing, is what we're seeing here. Though this response and vision from God didn't necessarily come on Habakkuk's timetable, it came at the time appointed by God. Though God's response may have seemed delayed, or his action may have seemed to be on pause for a bit, as we saw Habakkuk waiting on him, God is working according to his own timeline, not Habakkuk's and not ours, because he is the all-knowing creator of the universe, and he has perfect timing. We do not, and neither does Habakkuk. And so God is responding on his own time. So God here is encouraging Habakkuk that he isn't waiting for nothing. So you're not just waiting on me because I don't feel like responding. He's not waiting on nothing. He's been waiting for the time appointed by God, but he hasn't been waiting in vain. And he continues in verse 4. He says, look, his ego is inflated. He is without integrity, but the righteous one will live by his faith. So here, God is contrasting two types of people, the wicked and the righteous. The wicked one has an inflated ego and is without integrity. However, the righteous one lives by faith. And this could have been directed right at Habakkuk himself, encouraging him to live by faith and not by his impatience or fear. You know, this verse may have literally been addressing him himself, to live by faith and not to live by impatience, or not to live by fear about the situation. See, God is in control of the situation, and if he wants to be righteous, he being Habakkuk, if Habakkuk wants to be righteous, he needs to live by faith. Similarly, if we want to be righteous, we need to live by faith. And this is the cornerstone verse in the book of Habakkuk. And this verse is actually quoted 3 times in the New Testament. It's quoted in Romans twice by Paul. It's quoted in Romans 1:17, where it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. It's quoted again in Galatians 3:11. It says, now it is clear that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. And then thirdly, it's quoted by the author of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38. It says, but my righteous one will live by faith, and if he draws back, I have no pleasure in him. So we can see that both Paul and the author of Hebrews viewed this as such an important concept that it's quoted multiple times, and it's the foundation of our belief system. It's the foundation of our faith, of our belief. The righteous will live by faith in Christ. And this is where we start to see God address the wickedness of the Babylonians. Though they are being used by God, we see that this doesn't mean that he approves of their behavior, that he's in any way condoning what they do. However, God is able to use anything, even the wicked, to accomplish his will. And in verse 5, he continues addressing the wickedness of the Babylonians. So as he continues in verse 5, he says, "Moreover, wine betrays. An arrogant man is never at rest. He enlarges his appetite like Sheol, and like death he is never satisfied. He gathers all the nations to himself. He collects all the peoples for himself." So God continues talking about the wickedness of the Babylonians. The translation that I'm using says that wine betrays, but a better translation would be that wealth betrays. It's a better kind of reading of it, that their riches and wealth that they've accumulated by conquering and by plundering nation after nation will betray them, and they will never rest due to their arrogance. So he continues by saying that they will enlarge their appetite like Sheol, which is a reference back to Habakkuk's own words in chapter 1, verse 13. Chapter 1, verse 13, the second part of it, he says, this is Habakkuk talking, he says, "Why are you silent like the one who is wicked? Or why are you silent while the one who is wicked swallowed up the one who is more righteous than himself?" So God is kind of turning it back to him. And similar to death itself, the Babylonians continued swallowing up anything and everything that they could. However, despite the fact that the Babylonians seem to be swallowing up anything in their path, they will eventually be overcome by their greed and by their arrogance. And this message is similar to what we read in Hosea, the prophet Hosea in chapter 10. But in this case, in Hosea's case, he's addressing Israel. But the message is so similar. In Hosea chapter 10, verses 13, the beginning of verse 14, he says, "You have plowed wickedness and reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your own way, and in your large number of soldiers, the roar of battle will rise against your people, and all of your fortifications will be demolished in a day of war." So this is Hosea talking to Israel himself, that despite their power and strength, that they will still be defeated. And similarly, what we're seeing in Habakkuk, that despite the power and the strength of the Babylonians, they won't last because their greed will swallow them up. Although this was far beyond Habakkuk's time and obviously outside of the time frame he would have wanted, God showed that the greed of the Babylonians would eventually cause their downfall. So this is where we're going to pause for this session. This is the first section of God's second response, but the next section is a little bit longer and it all needs to go together. So we're going to pause here after verse 5 for this session and pick it up again in the next section in chapter 6 or in verse 6. But from these just few verses today, there are three takeaways that I think we can see here today. And the first is that God's timing is perfect and ours is not. God's timing is perfect and ours is not. Nothing in this book seems to happen on Habakkuk's timeline. However, everything happens on God's timeline. Though it was surely difficult for Habakkuk to deal with, and it's often hard for us ourselves to deal with, God's timing is perfect and ours is just so far from perfect. Waiting on God is difficult, and sometimes it can seem near impossible, but he works all things out according to his own will, and he has perfect timing. And in reality, if we knew the grand scheme of things, if we were all knowing like God was, we would not want things to work out in our timing, because we know that God works things out according to his will, and we know that ultimately, when looking from an eternal perspective, his will is what's best for us, not our own will. So God's timing is perfect, ours is not. Second thing we can see here is that the righteous live by faith. Faith in Christ is the cornerstone of our belief. Faith in times of difficulty or in times of uncertainty is of course difficult, but this is the mark of a follower of God, is to live by faith. See, if we jump back to Hebrews 10, which we looked at a little bit earlier, we can see that this is spelled out in just one of multiple places that faith is addressed in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38, then moving into chapter 11, says, "But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he draws back, I have no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen." So Hebrews 11 goes on to describe instance after instance of those that were faithful in the Old Testament and proved their righteousness by their faith. Faith is belief even when it's difficult. Faith is believing even when we don't see a way out of the situation that we're in. The righteous live by faith. Faith is a mark of our following of Jesus, of our belief in Christ. The righteous live by faith. The third thing that we can see from the short little passage today is that greed can be our downfall. Habakkuk hasn't seen it happen yet, but we know that the downfall of the Babylonians was due to their greed, and the same can be true for us. The more we have, the more stuff we amass, the harder it can be to rely on God. Sometimes it's easier to rely on God when in times of hardship because we have nowhere else to turn. But the more we gather, the more we amass, the more stuff we have, the harder it can be to rely on God. Because it can seem almost as if we don't have a use for God. The harder it is to rely on God, the more things that we amass, the more things that we have. Now, this certainly doesn't mean that things are bad and of course, most of us or all of us will never be at the level of the Babylonians, but greed and our reliance on what we have over the reliance on God can be and will be our downfall if we're not careful. Greed can be our downfall. And that's what we see in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 5.